Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is a terrific one, something that impacts all of us women. I've been feeling it, but we're going to learn about sleep. And we're interviewing Dr. Andrea Matsumura. She is also known as the sleep goddess, and she's a board certified sleep medicine and internal medicine physician. She is nationally recognized for her studies and her expertise in sleep and menopause. So she's creator of the Dream Sleep Method and the Sleep Goddess Archetype, and then everything we need to know about nurturing and aligning ourselves for better sleep and hormone balance. That's what we're going to learn today. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Matsumura.
Thank you, Dr. K, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so you've spent over a decade in primary care and doing intensivist medicine, and then you did sleep medicine fellowship, and now you're director at Cascadia Health, and you're working with the Portland Menopause Collective. So I'm super excited. You're a task force in Sleep is Good Medicine campaign. Tell me, what's your passion about sleep? What's missing in our lives, in our
Yeah. Definitely. Well, so as an internist, the first 13 years of my practice as an internal medicine doc, I saw that people were really struggling with sleep, and it was kind of one of those end of the visit type of concerns. And what I realized is that so many people are affected by lack of sleep, and it's what actually controls all of the other chronic medical conditions. And then when I went back and did a fellowship in sleep medicine, I quickly became the women's sleep health expert in my part of the country in the Northwest. And I started doing a lot of presentations. And then I also really had no nothing but women in my practice and started to see this connection between hormonal shifts and changes in sleep and just low quality of life because of that. So I made it my mission to really focus on women's health and sleep.
I love that. And you champion something that's called the Dream Sleep Method. Some things that women can do to get even better sleep. Can you tell us what is that? What are those initials stand for?
Yeah, the Dream Sleep Method is an acronym, and it really stands for a holistic integrated approach to somebody's sleep, to a woman's sleep. I find that in the community, we're so pressed for time that we're really just checking a box off on whether or not somebody has sleep apnea, and that's only part of somebody's story. In addition, we're also using screening tools that were made for men, so we're really missing a lot of women's sleep issues. And so the Dream Sleep Method really goes over daily habits, resting environment, your emotions, anxiety, depression, past trauma, your archetype, which is really your chronotype. What is your circadian rhythm? Are you a night owl? Are you an early bird? Neither. And then M is for medical conditions, and there are several medical conditions that can affect somebody's sleep.
So D is for daily.
Daily habits.
Okay.
So what are you doing during the day that might be affecting your sleep? In other words, are you not spending any time taking that deep breath, resting? Are you frenetic all day long? Are you
Yes.
not serving yourself well? So then when it comes time to sleep, you don't realize that you haven't trained your body to kind of shut down. That you're just go, 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 go all day, and then you wonder why you have problems getting to sleep.
That makes sense. Yeah. Why do you think that men and women's sleep is not being looked at with the same tools? So you said that women are getting tested with men's type of sleep data.
Well, because women weren't included in any study until 1993. So 1993 was when women were actually included in published studies for any medical condition. So then there was this entire body of evidence around men and sleep apnea. So all of the screening tools that are used are really gender biased inherently. I mean, one that's commonly used is called the Stop Bang. The G stands for gender. So if you're a man, you get a point. If you're a woman, you don't get a point. And women have different sleep apnea than men do. I call it a different phenotype. It's just a phenotype that we have not explored, studied. And so a lot of women are really getting left out and having delays in diagnoses because we're using screening tools that are made for men. And we also use testing equipment that has really been tested by and large on men versus women. And women,
Probably that
yeah.
CPAP equipment is all shaped for men's heads and men's physiques as well. It's not really petite or delicate.
100%, just because they make it look, they have it pink or purple doesn't mean that it really is going to fit your face.
That's so funny because I'm a head and neck surgeon, so ear, nose, and throat. I do a lot of sleep apnea surgery, all of the UVPP, uvulopalate, laryngoplasty, tonsil surgery, base of tongue, hyoid suspension, all the major stuff that I've done over the years. And you're absolutely right. I think 98% of the patients that are referred for that are men. And also, like, we hardly ever see women getting picked up by sleep apnea screenings. And I'm positive that we have interrupted, disrupted sleep, but somehow the equipment's not as sensitive for women.
So postmenopausal women, up in the literature, up to 67% of women postmenopausal will have sleep apnea. 90% of them do not know it.
Wow. And then, well, what are some of the impacts of being in perimenopause with regards to sleep?
Well, when we hit perimenopause, we have these changes in estrogen and progesterone, testosterone, and melatonin, and that affects what we call your sleep architecture, which are all the different stages of sleep and how much time you're supposed to be in each stage. And so we get this fragmentation of sleep. We have vasomotor symptoms. We are unable to achieve the same hours of sleep. And then we may not be getting as much time in slow wave sleep and in REM sleep, which are the two most important stages of sleep.
Interesting. And then do you think that hormones are the best solution to that? Like there's,
Yeah.
let's talk about how there's hormone deficiencies. Women have been scared to take hormones because of the Women's Health Initiative. Now that that stigma is starting to come down, is
Right.
using hormone replacement therapy going to help women?
Yeah, so it's a stepwise approach. So if a woman comes to me who is perimenopausal or postmenopausal, they have symptoms that may be related to the change in hormones and they're not on hormone therapy and they meet the criteria for hormone therapy. They don't have any other risk factors or history around it. Then we start with that. But at the same time, I also have a low threshold for testing women for sleep apnea. Although there's a lot of stigma around it, a lot of apprehension in the community of women that we serve because they think about a CPAP machine. And I had one woman tell me that that would be the best birth control that I will ever prescribe for
Yes, if you don't know what a CPAP machine looks like and you're listening, it's like a Darth Vader strap-on mask that's equally loud as Darth Vader.
Well, it actually, so there's some fallacies around that. I'm glad that you said that because a machine should actually be quiet if it's correct, if it's connected
It's fitting
correctly.
well, yeah.
Right. And then there's small masks that can be used. But by and large, women's sleep apnea is different. And all the studies that have been done have really been mostly on men and the use of CPAP. And so then that's what insurance companies cover. For women, they tend to have mild sleep apnea that is severe during REM sleep, your dream sleep. And they might do really well with an oral appliance. They might do really well with positional therapy, but that's not covered by many insurance companies. And if an insurance company covers an oral appliance, they cover one. And there's many different types.
And you have to try a few before you find what works sometimes.
It's about precision. It's about seeing a dentist who's qualified in dental sleep apnea devices and really looks at your anatomy and says, "Hey, I think that this particular oral appliance might work better for you given your anatomy."
Interesting. What do you think about the ideal evening routine or the sleep window that you kind of recommend that's going to help us long term with longevity and maintaining our mitochondrial
Yeah.
health?
Yeah, definitely. So that's that daily habits and resting environment. So what are we doing to help us wind down? So again, in our society right now, we're go, 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 that there's this whole notion that, I'll sleep when I'm dead. There's no reason to capitalize on sleep when actually sleep is the juggernaut for everything else to work well in your life. So we really need to be providing ourselves with a 1 hour before we get into bed wind down period, relaxation. One of my analogies is when we're hungry, we don't just go, 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 and then open the refrigerator and start stuffing our mouth. Typically, we actually take,
Sometimes we do that.
sometimes we do, but typically you prepare a meal, right? So, in the way that we prepare food or we wait in a restaurant while it's being prepared, so too with sleep. We have to prepare ourselves to actually get to sleep if we want to optimize our sleep.
Very true. I think obviously, screen time and getting blue light exposure at night is a major problem for this whole generation. And I confess I have the problem. But do you have solutions other than wearing blue light blockers? And I know we're supposed to put our devices away.
It's really about just putting the device away. All of the extra tools around us to help us block out that blue light, it's just another marketing tool, honestly, so that you can use your phone longer. I mean, it's really a mini computer in your hand, and at some point we just have to disconnect. I really advise people to have your phone connected, charging in a different room or away from you and away from your bed, or if you have to have it beside your bed, in your nightstand, in the drawer. We don't need it. We really don't need it up until the last second before we get to sleep. Studies have shown that it actually reduces our total sleep time by at least 30 minutes.
Interesting. How does caffeine late in the day affect you, and also then melatonin, the whole melatonin
Yeah.
compound?
So caffeine has a half-life of 6 hours, and so it has two effects in the brain. It has alerting and stimulating effects. So it really antagonizes adenosine receptors. So adenosine accumulates in our brain throughout the day. That's what makes us sleepy and builds up our sleep pressure. When we drink caffeine in the middle of the day, that's why we get this jolt, because it's fighting for those same receptors, and then it's causing some alertness. It's causing us to be alert again. But then there are also other caffeine receptors in the brain that just stimulate the brain and get us wired. So that is some of that side effect that you see in people if they drink caffeine too late, which also has been shown to reduce total sleep time by at least 30 minutes if you drink caffeine too late in the day. When people say, "Oh, I can drink an espresso and go right to sleep," I tell them, "Well, that's just confirmation that you're sleep deprived. Doesn't mean that you don't have any effect to caffeine."
Caffeine's still working, you're just more deprived than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have been reading more about the role of melatonin, not just as a supplement, but also as sort of a longevity hormone. What do you think of that? And are you using it in your own personal biohacking protocol?
I am melatonin. So I've done a deep dive on melatonin, because when I was trained in sleep medicine, we were taught that it's only used for circadian realignment. So if you're traveling through time zones, or you're a night owl and you have to wake up really early, we use that strategically. It's because it is a chronobiotic in our body. It is not a sleep aid. However, melatonin reduces in our body. I was shocked when I started reading through the literature that the pineal gland is the first gland in the body to calcify. And it calcifies so significantly that we have a reduction of melatonin of up to 50% by age 50.
My goodness. Wow.
And melatonin is what is helping us align that circadian rhythm so that we can actually get into all the stages of sleep. So the other interesting component here is that I'm convinced, and we just don't have enough published data, that estrogen plays a role in the increased rates of dementia that we see in women. So two-thirds of all cases of dementia are in women. And I don't, clearly, that is not a coincidence. Now, there is a link to menopause and lower estrogen levels and changes, structural changes in the brain. But in addition, estrogen modulates the production of melatonin. So, general aging, you have a reduction in melatonin. And then for women, you have a reduction in melatonin because of this pathway that estrogen is modulating serotonin. Serotonin is a precursor to melatonin.
Wow, that's very interconnected. So it's like a vicious cycle. One thing goes down and you're destined for failure, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, so how do you supplement and avoid that?
So in the literature that is out there's not a lot, but in the literature that is out there, it appears that sustained release mimics our physiology the most so that we can actually get to sleep and stay asleep. Now, I mentioned that melatonin is a chronobiotic. So I take it for myself 2 hours before I'm going to go to bed, and I take 3 milligrams of it, and that helps me. I didn't really have any particular issues with getting to sleep or staying asleep on a routine basis, but that 3 milligrams sustained release, I do notice with my wearable that I have slight bumps in my slow wave sleep and in my REM sleep. And so I think that that's the biohacking piece for longevity. And I always say I don't want to particularly live longer, but the time that I have here on this planet, I want it to be high quality. And if I'm not getting optimal sleep, then that's not high quality.
And then is there truth to this idea that when you supplement exogenous melatonin, your endogenous or internal production stores or will be dampened?
Yeah, that is fallacy. That's been debunked by literature. So that actually has been published that you don't reduce your endogenous or the melatonin that you make
So
if you
there's not
take.
a negative feedback, positive feedback loop.
There is not. So
Wow.
similar to vitamin D, I really think melatonin may be that next vitamin D.
Yeah. Deficiency or like the next vitamin D that everyone should be on.
Well, I think everybody should be on it, not only because there is a deficiency in melatonin once you age, but also it does so many other things. We're finding that it's protective for gut, it's immune protective. There's a study that just came out around cardiovascular repair. So there's all these small studies that are coming out, but nobody has done large scale studies on, well, what are all the things that melatonin could potentially be doing?
That's so interesting. But people do report some resistance, like they are on it for a while, it feels amazing, then they feel like they plateau or it just doesn't help anymore.
I think that's where that piece of my dream method comes in, that there might be something else going on in their life that is actually contributing to their inability to get to sleep or stay asleep, and that it's not necessarily the medication
Yeah, okay, well.
or the supplement, rather.
Is there a dose that you recommend or a favorite brand you want to shout out?
I don't have any particular brand. What I always tell patients is that you want to make sure that it's third-party tested and that it has that label that says NSF. That means that it's third-party tested for
Okay.
its strength and efficacy. I do recommend 3 milligrams sustained release if you're trying to help improve and optimize total sleep time. And I also recommend that you take it 2 hours before you go to sleep because, again, it's not a sleep aid; it is a chronobiotic. And so it's not supposed to induce sleep; it starts the cascade of sleep.
So interesting. One of my favorite topics is beauty, and I love the concept of beauty sleep. And what does that actually mean on a cellular hormonal level? What happens to our skin and body during good sleep versus kind of interrupted bad sleep?
So when we have enough sleep and we get into all the stages of sleep and the right amounts of each stage, then that helps us fight all of the oxidative stress that we incur throughout the day. So it serves as this big antioxidant because our body is this symphony that's going on. There's a symphony that's going on while we're sleeping. And if we don't get into the right stages of sleep and we don't have enough sleep, then certain things can't turn on to help us regenerate. To help us clear out waste products, to help us increase our longevity.
Yeah, that's very important. Does sleep in some way increase like microcirculation to the skin or the, I don't know, vasodilation, nitric oxide levels or anything else that are is going to impact skin?
I don't know if at a cellular level it is doing that, but there are definite studies that say that if you're not getting enough sleep, then you have more oxidative stress, which is adding to your aging,
Yeah.
right?
But I
And so
think
that
we've all had that experience where you pull an all-nighter or you didn't sleep enough and you wake up and your skin feels crappy.
yes.
You can't throw your face on like you normally do. And so I just wonder, like, where's the cellular aspect and physiology of that, you know?
I know. I want to look more into that now that you brought that up because
It must be something because it's a physical manifestation of this behavioral problem.
absolutely. Sleep affects every single cell in our body.
Yeah, it really does. How does a woman know that she should think about her hormones being the culprit with sleep disruption? Are there certain sleep symptoms or signs that if you have this, it's for sure hormonal? Or is it just all in the mix?
It's kind of all in the mix. There isn't any one particular thing. The most common symptom, though, is I suddenly wake up in the middle of the night and I can't get back to sleep. And I used to be a great sleeper. And so it's typically so why it's kind of all in the mix is because, yes, that could be hormonal, but two, that's also very common. If somebody has mild sleep apnea, that's occurring during REM sleep mostly, because that's when we have more REM sleep. And so historically, people will say, I fall asleep great. And then I suddenly start waking up at 2 in the morning, and then I can't have a hard time getting back to sleep. And so we see that when people have REM-related sleep apnea.
And do you think that brain fog has anything to do, like the perimenopause brain fog, does that have to do with the sleep disruption in our cycles?
I think it's multifactorial. So I think one, we just have this reduction in estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. But then two, we also have this big disruption in our sleep architecture because of that reduction. So it's kind of like, well, what's coming first? What's happening? What is it because we have this reduction in hormones that's now changing the sleep architecture? Or is it just also, the reduction in melatonin causing a change in sleep architecture.
Yeah, what came first? We don't know. We really don't know. But there are a lot of my patients that are super high functioning and type A women. They struggle with sleep, but they also do everything right. Like they'll take notes, they'll check every single thing off the box, and they'll be doing all the things right, and they still struggle. What advice would you give to them?
So that's when we go back to understanding that all the tools to help us get to sleep and stay asleep are already there, but sometimes they kind of turned off. And that's when cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia plays a role. So cognitive behavioral therapy has been shown to improve symptoms related to menopause, but it is truly the gold standard and only treatment for chronic insomnia. And chronic insomnia, by definition, is the inability to get to sleep and or stay asleep more than 3 times a week for more than 3 months. And that's what CBTI does. It helps you understand what the hypervigilance is in your sleep and then help you reignite those tools in your brain to help you stay asleep.
Yeah, I guess some of it is kind of like the wild thoughts in your head that you can't stop thinking, and that's the behavioral training thing.
That's called sleep anxiety. So when people start having a tough time getting to sleep, and then they have anxiety, and then it's this vicious cycle. Like, I know I'm gonna have a hard time getting to sleep, so then I have anxiety about getting to sleep.
Do wearable trackers make this problem better or worse? Because I almost feel like some people are stressed about what their reading is going to be, and
It's
then.
a double-edged sword, right? So people hang their hat too much on the wearables. Wearables are great for trends, but they're not diagnostic tools. The best one on the market is 75% accurate.
Which one do you think that is? The Oura
Well,
Ring?
I know it's the Oura Ring.
Okay, yeah, it's not fully accurate, but it's just an indicator, right? So I think people, do you recommend that we all try a wearable tracker, or just see a sleep specialist if you're really struggling?
I think you should see a sleep specialist if you're really struggling. I think that, again, it's a double-edged sword wearing a wearable because some people hang on the data too much. And I really tell people you need to take the, 30,000 foot view with your information to look for trends, not day-to-day hanging on the data. And they also prime people. Like, you might wake up feeling pretty good, and then you see your data and you say, oh no, I slept terribly. So it's priming people to think a certain way. So I would say, really focus on how you felt before you think about the data.
Yeah, that's important, I think. Well, you blend the science and the soulful aspect of sleep very beautifully. Is there a personal ritual that helps you feel grounded when life gets chaotic or you're traveling, lecturing, and all that?
So I love to do imagery. So I always try to do a little bit of meditation, if you will, and I either try to think about nothing or think about my favorite place, and that I'm in this favorite place, and do breathing exercises. That really helps to stimulate your parasympathetic system and relax you. And then I am a huge, one of my hacks is wearing an eye mask. I love wearing an eye mask.
Oh yeah,
So
that's really relaxing actually. So that's very true to have any of these little bedtime rituals put you in the right mood, like this stereotypical warm bath or a glass of warm milk, hot tea, chamomile, those things are all great.
Yeah, so that's part of that daily routine, and then the resting environment. Like, you're not going to get very far if you have a really uncomfortable bed. You're not going to get very far if you live in a really loud part of your community and you're not wearing earplugs.
Yeah, very true. Are there supplements that we should just incorporate? I know magnesium has helped my sleep a lot.
Magnesium is one. Magnesium glycinate. There are many different forms of magnesium. That's pretty low. It's low budge, and there's really not a lot of side effects to taking a low dose of magnesium, other than if you bump it up too much, magnesium makes you move and you might have diarrhea. So you got to be careful with that. L-theanine also promotes GABA. So L-theanine is a similar, it's going to respond in our brain similarly to how progesterone helps us relax.
Love that. Well, let's end with some quick fire questions. What's some of the what are the things on your nightstand or bedtime essentials?
I have lavender spray that I love to spray my pillows with, and I have my I've got my eye mask. I actually have like seven of them, but I have an eye mask that I love, and I have been testing out sleep tape. But I want to caution folks: if you think you have sleep apnea, or you don't know if you don't have it, you don't want to use sleep tape because then you can worsen sleep apnea. and
Oh my
worsen your
gosh.
oxygen levels, right?
Yeah, don't tape your mouth shut unless you're positive you don't have apnea, because
Right.
it creates apnea.
Yes. And so every time I see an ad pop up for sleep tape, I'm like, oh no, people are just going to jump to that and it can worsen their sleep apnea. But I know I don't have sleep apnea. So then that I'm using that. I just started using it just to see if
Is
it,
there
you
any
know.
science behind taping your mouth at night? There's not, other
There's
than
not really any
better oral
science
health, I
behind
guess.
it. You know, I don't, you know, there's all these claims that it can change the shape of your face because it makes you hold your tongue in the right position. I just don't, you know, I'm just testing it out because I got some free samples of it, but you know, that's not something I'm going to use long term. So forget I even said that. The thing that I'm going
Take
to
that off
focus
your
on,
nightstands.
yeah, is I love lavender spray. I love comfy sheets and I love my eye mask.
Perfect. If you could whisper one thing into the ear of every woman turning 40, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. You've got this. You have got this. Gonna be okay.
It's time to relax and come into your own strength,
Yep.
I know that you have some things that are launching for you this summer, and in the fall. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I am going to be launching my private practice at the end of September, and I will be utilizing my dream sleep method and really focusing on women in midlife. Then I am working on a sleep supplement, a collaboration with someone else, and that potentially is going to be launching in the last quarter of the year. I'm also working with another person on an eye mask. I kind of forgot about that. Got a lot of balls in the air. And then I am going to be at a conference October the 4th called Luminescence in New York City at the Palladium.
And what's at that conference? What are we talking about?
It's all about women's health in midlife. It's about learning tools and reclaiming our space as we hit menopause.
I love it. Well, that sounds like you have your plate full.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ever in Los Angeles, I'd love you to come visit me, and that would be so fun to hang out, or grab lunch or get a nice
Yeah.
complimentary treatment for your
Ah.
skin anytime you're here.
Thanks. Well, yeah, and anybody, if they have questions, I also have a website called Sleep Goddess MD or Dr. Andrea Matsumura, and I've got a lot of blogs on there, a sleep starter kit that's gratis so that people can start their journey to better sleep.
Love it. And also, what's your Instagram handle if people can find you there?
It is Sleep Goddess MD, and I am I'm in the process of moving it just to my name, but really, if you typed in both, my name comes up.
I like Sleep Goddess. I say we keep that one.
All right.
It's unforgettable. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. You guys definitely check out Dr. Matsumura, and I plan to take up some of these habits. So I'm going to learn more about melatonin. That really was thought-provoking for me. And as a surgeon who treats sleep apnea, it's so interesting to find out that this research is all based on men. We need to come up with some research studies for women's
Yeah,
sleep
we
disorders.
do. We need a screening tool for women. Women do not present the same way.
Okay, I feel like you have a project next year. I volunteer to help.
All right. Awesome.
I
Thank you. All
love
right.
it. Well, guys, don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. I'm going to send you some of our awesome skincare for your nighttime ritual. I have this really delicious night cream. It's called Night Quench. You're going to love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful and sleep well.
Thank you.